Please pay attention not just to the words, but to the silent spaces between the words. That's where the shift happens. In that alertness that is required to acknowledge or to listen to that dimension of stillness that underlies the words and is in between the words. That is why we're here. And that's not an adding to, because that is discovering something that's already there but had been ignored. Just as I was coming here this beautiful night in this incredibly beautiful place, I took off my shoes and I looked up at the sky. Clear sky. Stars. Brilliant points of light. And there is something when you look up there. There's something that is so easily overlooked, but should be obvious to anybody who looks up there. It can tell you something about the nature of the universe. When you look up, what do you see? You see little points of light. You see, basically, there are two dimensions there. Objects, celestial objects, suns, planets, the moon, galaxies, billions, trillions. So there are celestial objects, things, objects in space, and there's space. The universe consists of things. You can look, it's so obvious. There are things in space. And there's the vastness of space. The things are that which is manifested. But when you look up the what produces the feeling of awe, of the feeling of infinity, is the vastness of space. The depth of it, which is inconceivable. Has no end. That is such that even our neighboring galaxy, our next door neighbor in terms of galactic neighbors, the Andromeda galaxy, if you traveled at the speed of light, which is very fast, 300,000 kilometers per second, which is the distance from here to the moon in 1 second, is the speed of light. If you traveled at the speed of light to our neighboring galaxy, and there are billions of galaxies, the closest one to us, it would take you 2.3 million years to reach it at the speed of light. 2.3 million years. Such is the depth, the vastness of space. And what is out there applies also the so-called external universe, applies also to the so-called inner universe. There is also within you things. Let's keep it simple. Things and space in your life. Now, things, it is obvious that your life is surrounded by things. There are many things in your life. physical things. In many people's lives, there are so many physical things to deal with that they are constantly running after the next physical thing that they need to deal with. They may have a house, they may have this and this, and everything demands attention. Their entire attention is absorbed by the things that surround them. And it's just at the moment just talking about physical things. This is needed and that's needed and that. And then there's the belief that there are not enough physical things yet. I need some more because I don't feel quite complete yet. And then there are other things in a wider sense. All the things that make up your life situation. Conditions of your life. Events. Things are constantly happening. And constantly new things pop up. Oh, thanks. So it's not just physical things, all kinds of things make up your life situation, what people call my life. But I say it's only your life situation. They don't know what their life is. Their life situation consists of an accumulation of events, things, happening, situations, demanding attention. Everything saying, this is important. Give me attention. So there's the pull of things, not just physical things, the pull of situations, of demanding it. It's the world, your world, consisting of things that need to be dealt with. And it's never quite enough time to deal with it all. And when you've dealt with one thing here, there are three more things cropped up there. And so that's, people go through life with that pull into the world of things. Doesn't leave you alone for long. And on a primordial level, on a basic primordial level, all the world of things starts with thoughts. Because all the things, whether they are physical or events or situations in your life, really only exist in you as thought. Nobody knows whether actually there's anything out there at all. Because what reaches you, they say sense perception happens, visual, auditory, and so on, is translated into nerve impulses that reach the brain, and it's then those impulses are decoded, and then some kind of world picture emerges. Oh, this is what's going on. Nobody actually knows what's out there beyond the impulses that are being received and decoded, and so some kind of world picture is put together, so that some philosophers have even doubted that there's anything out there at all. And it could just be a dream. And there are certain indications that it is a dream. It's in the nature of dreams to be fleeting, to evaporate very quickly. It's in the nature of situations in your life, whatever condition, any situation, everything is fairly fleeting. It's there, one moment it is gone the next. Where was yesterday? What happened yesterday? When you first wake up in the morning, you might think, was it a dream or did it happen? And then you meet some other people who agree that it did happen. But it could be that these other people are part of your dream.